daring to dream of a better world for all of us. CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
A Sonic Cafe. Cafe.
Hi, folks. It's Friday afternoon, which means it's finally once again time for another edition of Let's Play DJ. My name is Jacob, and this is the show where every week I have a different guest on to talk about music they like and listen to it. We've been on hiatus all summer, and we're back for season 6 of this show, which I'm so old. And it's great to be here. Great to be back in your ears. My guest today is one of my favorite songwriters of all time. A good pal. She's like one of the hardest working people in music I know, and her new record Nerve just came out, and it's very worthy of your time and energy. It's Madeline Roger. Hey, Madeline. Let's play DJ.
Jacob.
How you doing?
I'm doing so good.
Thank you for joining me today. This is your third appearance.
Oh my gosh.
On this show, which means you now hold the record.
Triple dipping.
For most, it's like a hat trick. It's a community radio hat trick.
What an honor.
The honor's all mine. Thanks for coming. I think I texted you 2 days ago to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I forgot I had the show and then I remembered.
I just canceled all the things I thought I was going to do if I could come here.
So I was kind of thinking for this show, because we've gone through songs you like before, but since your new record's out, I kind of thought we could sort of do like a deep dive, like listen to a bunch of songs off the record, talk about songs that inspired it, et cetera, et cetera.
I love that.
Cool. Can we start with one of yours?
Yeah, yeah? Totally.
I have.
What do you want to start with,
I
Jacob?
Have Am I Ever Gonna Love queued
sure.
up, because it's my favorite one.
Sure, we can start with that one.
Okay, do you want to say anything about it first, or should we just listen to
sure,
it?
Sure, I'll yeah. just say that I'll never tell anybody who this song is about.
Well, what? Okay, well, now I have no questions. No, okay. Here it is. Oh, there's something else playing on my computer. Hmm. Oh, that's it. Slow Fade. That was Am I Ever Gonna Love by Madeline Roger off her brand new record, Nerve. And you're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with Madeline Roger beside me.
Woo!
Across the table. Beautiful song.
Thanks.
You said as you started playing it, oh no, now I was so honest with this record or whatever. We were talking about like vulnerability and...
Yeah, I feel like I didn't really leave a whole lot up to the imagination with this album. Or I could tell people that it's all fully fictional, but that would be a lie. So, yeah, it's interesting now that it's out, I'm having to kind of reckon with the fact that I have really gone and taken all of these private moments from my life and turned them into something quite public.
I know how you feel. Is there like catharsis there? Is it like a mix? Like, does it like, I feel like for myself with that stuff, it sort of like ebbs and flows. Like sometimes I feel like really good about it, and sometimes I feel deeply vulnerable and anxious about it.
I think at first when we started making this record, I was quite petrified about the collection that we had chosen, because I think if I had been left to my own devices, I probably would have put a couple songs on the record that were more meaningless to me in some way, just to kind of to dull the edges. But I'm so glad that the producer, Josh, really encouraged me to just make it really have this feeling the whole way through the album, and to just lean into the fact that I happened to at that time in my life be writing a lot of really personal songs, kind of trying to process a bunch of stuff I'd been through.
And because you brought him like a lot of songs, right? And you whittled it down?
Yeah, I sent him a pile of 30.
Wow.
And then he sent me back an email with his top 10 favorites. And then when I saw the list, I ended up having this like, oh shoot reaction. And then once I got over that, I ended up writing a couple more
cool.
that I realized were parts of that story cool. that I hadn't written about yet. And two of those actually ended up being my favorites on the record, which is one of them being the one that we just played, Am I Ever Gonna Love, and the other one being You Don't Think About Me.
Yeah. Maybe listen to that one later. The other thing I was gonna ask too, like, so these songs were written, what, like 2-3 years ago?
More than that now, because we recorded the record 2 years ago and I started writing the record 2 years before that.
Okay, so like 4 years ago almost for a lot of these. And so like, does that distance create like comfort, or like how does it, or even I'm just trying to think about like even like performing these songs, because you're playing them a lot now.
I love that you're also a songwriter and are asking such brilliant questions about this.
I'm just imagining my own terror.
Yeah, I love it now because I have separation from how I felt when I wrote it. I think part of what happened is time has gone by and I have healed, and in a way writing these songs helped me kind of come to terms with a lot of things that I was going through. And now I'm in one of the happiest places I've ever been in my entire life. I feel quite enchanted by the things that are happening in my world and in my career and in my art practice and everything. And so revisiting these songs, I kind of feel a bit more like I'm diving into my old role in theater. I studied theater at this very university a decade ago. I got a degree in theater and film. And that whole artistic practice was about allowing yourself to authentically feel a feeling, even if you hadn't ever experienced it before or you hadn't been that character before. And I kind of feel like revisiting these songs now is I get to use some of those skills that I studied for so long about diving into this moment, but diving back into the moment to be able to really express it authentically on a stage and on a recording, but without needing to actually fully feel it
like
personally.
Live in it.
Yeah.
That's very cool. It sounds like very like freeing.
It's so fun.
And I imagine like the way you introduce the songs has sort of changed over time.
Yeah.
Did you play those songs much when you wrote them? Like,
no, because it was 2020.
Right.
And 2021.
Right.
No one heard them.
Right.
Yeah. It was just like my cat.
Yeah. Okay, let's listen to another song. So we had this Courtney Barnett song queued up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
We were talking before we jumped on air about, I made this playlist of songs before I went into the studio with what I thought were deliciously imperfect vocals, because I was trying to make this album with with letting go of perfection. Mm-hmm. And so I made this playlist of a bunch of songs that I love with singers who are just fully embracing the moment, mm-hmm. instead of making everything polished and perfect and using auto-tune all over the place. And one of the songs that's on that playlist that I just love so much is An Illustration of Loneliness by Courtney Barnett.
Right on, here it is. That was An Illustration of Loneliness by Courtney Barnett. You're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm here with Madeline Roger. Excellent pick.
Thanks.
Okay, I want to pick up on something you mentioned mm-hmm. before the break. You were talking about, how sort of like what it's like to play songs you've written a long time ago and like sort of like go back in that headspace. And you were talking about, you know, going back to using your theater degree. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but pick up on that because you and I, as you know, we both came to songwriting via musical theater, which is not necessarily something either of us like to advertise. But I'm curious how much you like think about that, or how much you think that like informed like the work you do now.
Yeah.
Because you're also like we've talked about musicals and stuff. And like,
yeah.
I know there's...
I feel like my pipeline went... I loved playing the xylophone in kindergarten and the recorder. And then I realized I liked singing in the elementary school choir. And then that led to musical theater. And then I was like, wait a second, I don't like this. This feels tacky. And then so I dropped the music part of it and just did straight theater because I loved the storytelling of theater. Mm-hmm. And I spent my whole young adulthood in like straight theater. Mm-hmm. And I think that time really informed me a lot about storytelling. I was so curious about narrative arcs mm-hmm. and character development. Mm-hmm. And all of my focus in theater was always about like these unusual characters and how to build a story where there was some kind of payoff at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like I have used that in a lot of my songwriting, where the verses sort of develop the person that you're watching.
Yeah.
And then there's a moment where you kind of learn like an important thing.
And then you were talking too about like you just how like all these songs are personal and stuff, but what level of embellishment do you use when you write? Like, is everything super literal, or do you sort of like start somewhere and then let it kind of go?
I think it depends on the song. I have definitely written songs that are mostly embellishment, and then I have some that are just shockingly pulled from my like snapshots of memories.
Yeah.
And I would say that this album is more very, very directly linked to reality. Some of the songs I maybe tweaked a thing or two just to slightly obscure it to some human beings in my life. And I will not elaborate.
Fair. Let's listen to another one of yours.
Speaking of obscuring things slightly to make it not obvious, do you want to play some kind of nerve?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Who knows who this one's about?
Kind of Nerve by Madeline Roger off her brand new record Nerve. I guess that's the title track.
Yeah,
in some ways.
Yeah, kind of is a sneaky little title
sneaky
track.
Sneaky little title track. Super well obscured.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, can we actually just dive right into sort of like a comparative song?
Absolutely.
On that one? There's this band that only existed for I think a couple of years called Lula Wiles, and they had this song on their record called Oh My God that I loved so much when it came out in 2019. And just like the wicked writers, wicked players, and this song feels thematically linked to Some Kind of Nerve, so I think it's a good choose your own adventure here.
I have the band up. I don't have the song.
It's called Oh My God, like O-H. Oh My God. Yeah, the person who, one of the writers of this song, Issa Burke, is a phenomenal electric guitar player now, too, and fiddle player, and tours with Eve O'Donovan. So
I got it. Here it is. Yeah. Thanks for vamping for me.
Gotcha.
Spill on it.
That was Oh My God by Lula Wiles. You listen to Let's Play DJ on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for 25 on your drive home. I'm happy you're here, and I'm here with Madeline Roger.
Hi. I love that song so much. One of my favorite things about it is how they chilled the tempo so hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is in no hurry whatsoever to hand this person a hard dose of reality. It's so great.
You just like can't help but like air drum to it.
Yeah. Can confirm Jacob was air drumming along.
Yeah, what great songwriting too, though, and just like unapologetic and like don't be a jerk, you idiot,
duh.
I wanted to ask you about the recording process of your record, because so you worked with Josh Kaufman, who's like, for those of you that don't know, I didn't know when you told me you were working with Josh Kaufman, then I googled him, and then I subsequently lost my mind.
Google set you straight.
he's worked with everyone. All the best songwriters working right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's in the project Bonnie Light Horseman, and he produced also for, of course, Anais Mitchell and Amy Helm, Levon Helm's daughter, and
Craig Finn, His Gold Messenger,
Bob Weir.
Yeah.
Cool name, guy. Name drop. Insert name drop
here. So, and like, what was it like?
It was amazing. I didn't really know what to expect because, frankly, we didn't know each other. And we had 2 1-hour-long phone calls before I packed up my guitars and flew down to New York and took a train to Kingston.
And then you're just like in a room together.
Yeah.
And it's like very intimate.
Yeah, with these 10 songs that are about my like deepest inner workings of my life. And but it was amazing. Immediately, we fell into this incredible comfort and ease.
Cool.
On the very first day, we were like, let's just try to record one of the newer ones, and picked one of the newer ones. And right away, we decided to abandon click tracks. And because we abandoned click tracks, we decided to also abandon headphones because there was no reason to be listening in on ears. And so it ended up being this phenomenal foundation where I was playing guitar and singing at the same time as Josh playing an instrument of his choice from about 10 feet away. And then we just did three to five takes of each song and then picked one full take. And it was so freeing. We didn't have to do any editing. There was no deciding which line from which vocal take are we going to do.
Any comping, like none of that.
None. We just, we were listening for a full song that sounded like a cohesive story and where the energy was right.
Yeah.
More than looking for musical perfection, which I was really hoping would be part of how we worked together. And I think it's something that Josh is so excellent at. He's like this hyper intuitive musician and producer. So he's able to take that kind of raw feeling and translate it into other melodies and other instrumentation in a way that I wouldn't have been able to bring on my own.
Right.
Yeah. So beautiful watching him work.
And then just for layered instruments on top kind of thing.
Yeah. Like we picked a full take and they were like, well, that's the song now. And then, Josh, the recording studio that we were in was called the Isocon with engineer Dan James Goodwin. And it was the abandoned boardroom of an old IBM building. The building had been decommissioned, so the city was still running it and they were keeping it from essentially falling into the ground. But then they had offered up some of the old rooms to various artists in Kingston, New York. So there was somebody doing this weird painting installation on the other end of the building, but then we were in the old boardroom.
Wild.
And so it was this huge space that was converted into a playground for adults. And there were all of these stations. There was kind of like a piano, organ, keyboard part of the room, and everything was mic'd up and ready to go. And then there was sort of guitar land in one side of the room.
So you can just sort of like walk around and sit down and everything's ready. Very cool.
Yeah. So there was never any kind of interruption to the flow of the work.
You didn't have to like spend time like getting sounds.
No.
Yeah.
And they've worked together so many times.
Yeah.
They have this incredible synchronicity. And it was so cool watching Josh work because we'd pick the foundation and then he would be like, okay, tenor guitar. And then he would go to the tenor guitar and he would do something. And I was, the first time I was like, I don't really understand how that locks into everything. And then he would turn to the engineer and be like, okay, next, let's go to piano. And then he would walk over to the piano and play this piano part that just perfectly interlocked with the tenor guitar thing he had just done.
Yeah.
And very quickly, I realized that I was watching a genius at work. Because it was like that with every song, and he would do one, two, seldomly three takes of whatever instrument he was adding on. And he would have literally just been learning the songs when we were doing those 3 to 5 bed tracks.
Right.
So it went so fast because... Wow. We ended up, each song was done in 2.5 to 3 hours. And then I would go and add all the backing vocals. And, you know, if I had a couple thoughts about adjusting things here or there, hand percussion or whatever, we would do that. But then the song was done. So 4 days in, we had made an entire record.
You tracked the whole thing in 4 days?
Yeah.
That's crazy. With one other person, essentially?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wow. And then there were just 3 overdubs that happened afterwards. The... JT Bates, phenomenal drummer, added overdubs on 3 of the songs after the fact. And then Winnipeg's own Julian Bradford added bass on Am I Ever Gonna Love, the first song that we listened to today. Cool. And then my friend Elise Burr played fiddle on a song called Kiss Me.
Wow. That's cool. I feel like that's rare for a record to get made so quickly.
Yeah.
But also kind of...
It was not our intention.
Yeah.
But then it happened and we did not fight it.
And but also, like, what a gift, because then you can just sort of walk away and be like, that was it.
Yeah. And I you know, in so many ways it was perfect because the songs had been... I did have to labor over a lot of the songwriting and the lyric writing. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of process of editing to get them to say exactly what I wanted them to say. Mm-hmm. But I was trying in those songs to capture these really, really momentary, fleeting human experiences. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that we were able to try to capture that again on the recording side and on the instrumentation side was just so perfect to me.
Yeah.
That it was instinctual and intuitive.
Well, and it works too. Like it comes across as a very cohesive, like, body of work. I don't know. And that's different from when you made your first record.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
super
first
different.
Record was multi-tracked and labored over. And
yeah, totally. And I was co-producing, which I'm never going to do again. Like, I'm really proud of that album, but co-producing, it's just so easy to get so far into my own head about it. I don't know what other people's experiences have been producing their own albums, but I really felt like I had too many microscopes and magnifying glasses on every piece of it. And I actually really loved, in making this record, having the chance to step back a bit more and, like, just be the songwriter the artist, and the artist, and let someone else bring their magic to the other elements.
Cool. Can we listen to another song that Josh has produced?
Sure.
What? Which one? Oops.
Hmm.
I'm putting on the spot here.
Yeah. I'm just... what songs are on that record? Okay, I'm going to give you a choice.
Okay.
Either Fever Dreaming or Never, Never, Never.
Let's do Never, Never, Never.
Okay.
I got to pull it
up. The only song I ever wrote on a napkin.
A napkin?
Yeah.
Where was the napkin from?
It was just on my dining room table.
Oh, like you had access to paper, you just chose.
I needed something to write on immediately.
All right, here it is.
Never gonna be enough for money, never gonna be enough wine, never gonna be enough charity. Never gonna be enough time. Never gonna say never. Never gonna nickel and dime. Never, never, never gonna get you off my mind. Never take too much, never meant to tell a lie, never meant to move too fast, never meant to make you cry, never meant to look back, never meant to fall behind, never. Thank you.
That was Never 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 by Madeline Roger. This is Let's Play DJ. I'm Jacob. I'm here with Madeline Roger. It's 4:37. The time is flying by, Maddie.
Wow.
Wow. So have you... We keep alluding to, like, you know, the records about this very, like, you know, tumultuous time in your life, whatever, specific people. So I'm just curious, like, do you send these people the record before it's out? Do you talk to them about it? Do you, you know, people, person, whatever? I'm trying to stay vague.
Yeah, totally. I definitely, I sent a lot of these songs. There was a very important person in my life. Mm-hmm. We went through a breakup in 2020, and there are at least 4 songs on this record about that individual. Mm-hmm. And when they were being written, they were being sent back and forth with this person.
Nice.
Because this person was also a songwriter, and so we were both kind of processing this whole thing in this peculiar, perhaps unconventional way, but it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
And I guess that could have been a bad idea, but it actually somehow just did feel right. And now we have found a really beautiful friendship over the years.
Nice.
And I just actually handed him the record on vinyl in Calgary about a month and a half ago.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, that person has heard the whole, like, knows about absolutely every single part of this whole record and this whole process, because he's also one of my best friends now. And, some people don't know that there's a song about them on the record, and they will never know.
That's almost more fun.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. I asked someone else, I can't remember who it was, because they use a lot of names in their songs, and I asked them sort of, how many, are the names real or not? And they sort of said, well, if it's a nice song, I use their real name. If it's not a nice song, I change their name.
Right. That's tactful.
Yeah, I think so. We're Canadian.
Yeah, right.
That'd be polite. What do you want to listen to next?
Do we want to listen to one of maybe somebody else's?
Sure.
Why don't we listen to a Waxahachie song? Because...
Okay. Twist my rubber arm.
She's so rad.
Yeah.
And is also somebody that I've just been so obsessed with in the last while.
Yeah, I've listened to Tiger's Blood a lot.
Yeah, why don't you pick one of the songs that you love? You play DJ.
It's not the format of the show.
Well, then what's the one we were talking about earlier today? The song that's kind of the duet with that other...
That's the one that I... Anyway, that's fine. Okay, yeah, I've played it before, but it's so good. Here's right back to it. Waxahachie. I say Waxahachie because...
I don't know how it's said.
Right. Waxahachie seems much more...
Katie Crutchfield is her name, I think.
Anyway, here's MJ Lenderman and Waxahachie with Right Back to It.
Thank you. on, we know it. If I can keep up, we'll get right back to
It by Waxahachie and MJ Lenderman. You're listening to Let's Play DJ on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm back after being away for the summer, and I'm here with Maddie Roger, Madeline Roger.
Hello. You got real casual there for a second, Jacob.
Whoops. Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, I do too.
It's so good. I've played it, I think, on the show before.
Nice.
Okay, we got 15 minutes left. Do you want to... What do you want to talk about? what's coming up next? We were just sort of talking about touring and stuff. You're about to hit the road forever?
Yeah, totally. So the other part of my life, of my artistic and career life, I guess, is that I sing with a string quartet. And now for something completely different. It's this amazing band called The Fretless that I could just adore. And for the last 2 years, I've been touring with them as their vocalist. And about a year and a half ago, we started writing songs together.
Cool.
Which is the craziest feeling on earth, writing with a string quartet. Are you kidding me?
I can imagine.
It's the coolest.
Because they're also like, they're really good, right? Like they're like...
They're like...
It's like gymnastics.
It's gymnastics. It's Olympic gymnastics.
Yeah.
What I've been learning touring around with them is that they are like so many fiddle players' favorite band.
Yeah,
because they're just so exceptional at what they do, and they're so creative, and they go so far outside of the box of what typical fiddle music is, because they all have such broad listening palettes,
right?
And so they've made their new record that's actually coming out in 2 weeks, and three of the songs on it are songs that I co-wrote with them and recorded with them.
Nice.
And so this tour that we're doing is across Canada, that starts at the top of October. Actually, we're doing a show in Winnipeg. We're playing at the Weston Cultural Center.
Nice.
I forget what date, but it's there. It's happening.
Tickets, I'm sure, out there.
Yeah.
When you're like co-writing, like, are you solely responsible for the lyrics? Are you like fielding other stuff from other people? Like, how does it work?
That kind of end up being how it worked out. Like, we wrote three songs, and the three of them came about quite differently. Mm-hmm. One of them, that's actually out now, called Caledonia. I had written the lyrics already, sort of as a poem. I was in Scotland, sitting on a beach, watching
the distillery that flew you to Scotland.
Oh yeah, totally.
Sorry.
Yeah, I did a very bizarre gig where I got brought over to Scotland to write a song for a whiskey distillery. But we're not going to share that song. That's a whole different story and a whole different can of worms. But after that gig was done, I had some time to spare, and so I traveled around Scotland a bit with my friend Michael Barkman, and then I had a day off, and I just was writing sort of like poetry that was intended to turn into a song. And 2 weeks later, I was back with the Fretless in Canada, and we were like, oh, let's work on another song. And I was like, well, I've got these lyrics that could really work for something folky. And then together we built the arrangement, the chord progression, Sure. Cool. I shouldn't say we built the arrangement. They built the arrangement. But together we built the chord progression, and I found the melody that fit on top of that chord progression.
Is it hard, like, writing vocal melodies with so many other sort of, like, because I feel like a lot of those instruments are sort of in the vocal, like, canon.
Huh. That's a great question, Jacob. I think...
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. I think because I had already been singing with them for a year or so, I had already spent a lot of time finding my way to kind of weave between what they were doing and both become another fiddle and stay out of the way of the other fiddles.
Yeah.
So I think by the time we got to writing, we had already been doing that a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Should we listen to one of those songs?
Sure. Well, there's only one of those that are out that I'm on. So let's do Caledonia.
Caledonia by the Fretless.
Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah, here it is.
Caledonia, will I ever know?
It's gorgeous.
A vibe change.
I was Caledonia by the Fretless and Madeline Roger, and I'm here with Madeline Roger for the next 7 minutes.
Ooh.
Let me kind of leave.
Sad for us.
Sad for us. We'll never hang out again. Yeah, that was beautiful.
Thanks.
Cool. Very cool. It's like, yeah, very different from your stuff.
Yeah.
But also not.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I'm excited to hear that record. We have time for like one more song.
Okay.
Should we listen to one more song?
Sure. Should we listen? Should we listen to? Oh my God! What was the first song that I released from my record?
Yeah, that one.
so memorable.
I'm also blanking on it now, but I think it's just because you were.
You don't think about
that's
me.
The one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That one.
That one.
yeah. We got a few minutes that we can sure. We can gab though first before
sure.
We can maybe go out on that.
Okay.
Just to throw another wrench in.
Yeah, why not?
Your plans. What's like are you writing new stuff?
I am absolutely writing. I've basically written the
shocking.
I've basically written the entire next album.
Amazing.
I could say it's done, but I like to do the thing where I write 30 and then whittle down to 10 because I find when I write a lot, these sort of themes start to emerge and then they can get clumped together and then maybe you realize you're actually sort of writing two different albums at the same time or something. So that's what has been happening. So
I can't relate to that, but yeah, sure.
So the next one is essentially written and then the one after that is essentially half written.
Wow.
But the one after, like the one that's half written has a lot of work yet to do, and I think it's going to take me 5 years to write because it's quite an ambitious concept album.
Oh yes,
that I'm calling Dystopian Lullabies.
Cool.
I'm writing for four different characters. Speaking of bringing in some of the old theater life back into songwriting, so that's a huge project, and the one that is done written that will be the next one that I record feels very much like a companion album to Nerve because I have been so happy for the last couple of years, and the songs are really reflective of that. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more about kind of seeing beauty and whimsy and feeling this total freedom in life that I think is going to be a bookend to Nerve.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
People don't write nice, happy songs very often.
Well, I got a whole record coming your way. but not just yet.
Not yet. No?
Nope.
Got to tour this one.
Yeah, I got to tour this one for a while first.
Nice.
I get to tour this one for a while first.
Yes. We should plug your release show.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which is happening.
Yeah, I'm playing at the Wesson Cultural Center on November 23rd.
Nice. I'll be there.
To celebrate this whole era.
Awesome. Full band?
Oh, yeah. Full band. Full band, special guests. It's going to be a party.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
Tickets are on sale at the Wesson Cultural Center website.
Great.
Or you can find them on my website.
Great.
MadelineRoger.com.
Nice. Let's Play DJ airs every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. We're back now for season 6. We got lots of guests coming up on Instagram at Let's Play DJ Radio. Or you can head over to CKUW.ca to find information, past shows, and all sorts of great tidbits about all the great programming that this volunteer-run station provides. You have anything else you want to plug?
No.
Cool, me neither. Thanks for tuning in, folks. It's great to be back. We're going to go out on this beautiful song. Anything you want to say about this song? You don't think about me?
Sure. I will just share that I wrote it from my former partner's perspective.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a character flip.
Huh. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I took over driving. It's hard to believe.